Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for standing by. Welcome to the Phelan versus Rosato conference call. At this time, all participants are in a listen-only mode. Later, there will be an opportunity for questions and comments. Instructions will be given at that time. As a reminder, this conference call is being recorded. I would now like to turn the conference call over to your host for today, Kelly Swanson. Kelly, please go ahead.
Thank you, operator. Thanks, everybody, for joining us today. And we have two on-time fighters, so we can start on time, make everybody's life a little happier and convenient. We are on the phone today with WBO middleweight champion Peter Kid Chocolate Quillen and King Gabriel Rosado. They will be facing each other in the co-main event on October 26th at Boardwalk Hall in Atlantic City. This is a great show. Of course, everybody knows that Bernard Hopkins is the main event against Murat. And there's also on the show is, oh, my God, Deontay Wilder, heavyweight, very exciting heavyweight. So we're looking forward to hearing from the fighters. We have them both on at the same time. So without further ado, I'm going to turn it over to Robert Diaz, Golden Boy Promotions matchmaker, to make the formal introductions. Robert?
Thank you very much, Kelly. Thank you to everybody for being on the call. Before we get started, I want to make a couple announcements. Obviously, it's Saturday, October 26th at the Boardwalk Hall in Atlantic City, New Jersey, promoted by Golden Boy Promotions. I want to thank our sponsors, Corona and AT&T, and obviously it'll be from Caesars Atlantic City. Produced and distributed live by Showtime Championship Boxing, beginning at 9 p.m. Eastern Pacific. And the event can be heard in Spanish using secondary audio programming. Tickets priced at $300, $150, $75, $50, and $25, not including applicable service charges, are now on sale and can be purchased at the Boardwalk Hall box office or throughout all Ticketmaster locations by calling 1-800-736-1420. Now I'd like to start with introducing the fighters. Obviously, those who know out of Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, know that the fighters come to fight. Joe Frazier, Bernard Hopkins, and Gabriel King Rosado, holder of wins over Jesus Soto Caraz, Sekou Powell, Kasim Uma, and Charles Whitaker. Rosado has also been in the ring with Gennady Golovkin, Alfredo Angulo, and J. Leon Love on October 26th. The King will do whatever it takes to win the middleweight crown. Gabe, would you like to make some opening statements, please?
No, man, just, you know, thanks for having me, and I'm looking forward to this fight. I'm having a terrific training camp, so, you know, I'm just excited for October 26th.
Thank you, Gabe. He will be facing none other than Peter Kid Chocolate Quillen out of Brooklyn, New York, with a record of 29-0, 21 knockouts, the WBO middleweight world champion when he defeated former champion Hassam Nadam in a memorable, memorable performance where he dropped Nadam six times at the Barclays Center on October 20th. This past April, Peter Quillen successfully defended his title for the first time, dropping Fernando Guerrero four times en route to a seven-round technical knockout. On October 26th, Quillen will face Rosado in his second title defense, and he will do whatever it takes to defend that title. Peter, would you like to make some comments, please?
Yes, I just want to thank everybody that's going to be tuning in, watch this fight, all the hard work and people behind the scenes that made this fight possible, all my people, Al Heyman, and, you know, the list goes on. I'm very thankful, and I'm going to do my best to make sure that you get fireworks in the month of October.
Thank you, Peter.
Welcome.
Kelly, are we ready for the...
Okay, thank you so much, guys. That was fast. All right, we're going to cruise right through here, and we'll open it up for questioning. So, operator, I'm turning it back over to you.
Thank you. If you would like to ask a question or have a comment, please press star 1 on your telephone keypad. This will place your question in the order it was received. Once again, if you would like to ask a question, please press star 1 on your telephone keypad now. And our first question comes from Robert Morales with Los Angeles Daily News.
Hello, everybody. How's it going, Peter?
How you doing, Robert?
I'm all right, man. Hey, Gina, in your mind right now as it stands before this fight, where do you think you rank among the world's great middleweights?
I will place myself second behind Sergio Martinez. I've been calling Sergio Martinez out from day one when everybody didn't think I was a serious fighter. I will place myself number two only because I was willing to fight all the guys that Geneda Golovkin is fighting, Matthew Maclin. I was willing to fight Geneda Golovkin. But, you know, a lot of things and a lot of business hold back a lot of these things. But I just know that I'm going to fight hard wherever place I am to be number one, be the number one middleweight in the United States and be the number one middleweight in the world.
Are you hopeful of, and not to look past Gabe Rosado, God, I'm going to ask you about him in a second because he's a tough dude. But are you hopeful if, you know, of getting a chance to prove that at some point by unifying the titles with, you know, with somebody like a Martinez or a Golovkin?
Oh, of course. That's one of my dreams, to be a unified champion. And I reconstructed my goals after I won the title to say that that's the next mission, is to be a unified champion. So I only could take one day at a time. And Gabriel Rosado's in front of me. He's a very tough, tough cookie to crack. And I'm going to make sure that I do everything it takes to go ahead and stay on my goal path.
Well, you kind of told me what you thought about Rosado. So let me ask you this, Peter. At what point in your career did you realize that you had something special going? And you are a terrific fighter, by the way.
Well, I could just say that, you know, from the beginning, my dream was to always become a world champion. Once that happened, I knew it was like, okay, I accomplished what I really wanted. Now where I go from here? And that's when I started to notice that when you become a world champion, it becomes a special thing because you got little kids, you know, telling them that they're inspired by you and they're not inspired to be a champion, but like lawyers and doctors and stuff like that, that I knew that was something special. So now I know I have a responsibility. So now what I do is just go out there and I work even harder to make sure that every time I go out and defend this belt, I'm defending it with all that pride, that honor, and all the kids that's watching.
All right, thanks, man. Good luck. I appreciate it.
Thank you.
Our next question is Ismail Abdullah with Beats Boxing Mayhem.
Good afternoon, everybody. This question is for Kid Chocolate. Earlier this week, you had an interview out where you said that that basically you said that Gabe knows how to lose. And I thought that was an interesting comment because a lot of people, when you look at Rosado, he's known for his toughness. He's known for not quitting. So what have you seen in him to make you make a statement like that where you think that, you know, when the going gets tough, he might fold in there in the ring with you?
I'm not saying that he's like a loser in spirit. I'm just saying as on stats and on paper, you know how to lose, meaning he has 6 losses still at the end of the day. I haven't had a taste of defeat. So me and his hunger is coming from a different place. His hunger will always fight from not wanting to lose again. My hunger is never to want to taste defeat. So when people think I was saying like he's not tough enough and he know how to lose, I mean in a way that only people that will have a thinking mind will be able to put that into perspective. I'm saying that with 6 losses on his record, if he ever got in a moment in a fight with me where he felt that feeling before, he can choose 2 ways. He can choose to fight on or he can choose to lose.
Gotcha. And, Gabe, I wanted to get your thoughts on that, but I also wanted to ask you, you know, you said yesterday on Twitter that this fight is going to be a war, and we've seen in your last couple fights that you're very versatile. You know, when you fought Jay Leon Love, you took the fight to him. When you fought Golovkin, you actually showed your counterpunching. So what about Kid Chocolate makes you think that this fight is going to be a war, the way you guys match up?
Man, I think at the end of the day it's because, you know, Kid, he has the right attitude. You know, he has... You know, he doesn't have the quick mentality, and neither do I. I mean, I just have a different approach to this fight, man. It's my mindset is at a place that I don't think it's ever been in my whole career. You know, I'm growing up, being smarter, and you know, I just have a whole different mentality going into this fight. And I feel like, you know, this fight is all or nothing, and I'm willing to go through hell to win that title on the 26th, like literally. I'm willing to go through whatever it takes to win that cup.
Perfect. Best of luck to you guys. Thank you.
Thank you.
Our next question comes from John DeSanto with Philly Boxing.
Hello, everyone. Question for Gabriel Rosado. Gabe, I know that, you know, your mentor and one of your guys you most respect is Bernard Hopkins. How do you feel about fighting on the same card with him?
Hey, what's up, John?
Hey.
You know what? I never thought that would happen, man. You know, I remember being in the training camp with Bernard when he fought Kyle Zaghi. That's when I first started being around Bernard. And, you know, at that time, they were calling him old. You know, so I thought, you know, by the time I get there to that level, you know, Bernard would be retired. The fact that he's still fighting at the age of 48 and he's a world champion is amazing. I don't think that'll ever be done. So, you know, the fact that I'm, you know, opening up with Kid and Bernard's the main event, it's just something special. You know, Bernard has definitely been a big influence in my career. He's taught me a lot. And I think my different approach to my career, the approach I'm taking now, has a lot to do with what Bernard has taught me mentally and how to live your life outside of the ring. And, you know, I take those things to heart because, you know, he's a great champion. So, I mean, it means a lot being on the same card with Bernard Hopkins.
Okay. Do you feel like this fight is must-win for you?
I feel, you know, that's how I feel about every fight. You know, you can look at the record and you see the 6 losses. And, you know, at this point, I just, you know, that's history. That happened already. But I think it says a lot that the fact that I've been through all that adversity, the fact that I'm still here and I'm still relevant, it speaks volumes because not so many fighters, have losses and are still relevant and the fans still want to see them. You know, a lot of guys would have quit and they would have took the road that I took. I mean, so it just shows that, you know, I had the heart and the desire to be a champion. And I think with all the experience and everything that I've been through, it's going to prepare me for this fight versus Kid mentally and physically and everything that I have to do. I'll be ready October 26th.
Okay. Now, your last fight against Love, you had a good fight. It was a close fight. Many people thought you should have gotten the decision. He got the decision. I know that ultimately things were the result was changed. But what did you learn in that fight? I mean, against Kid Chocolate, you're fighting a terrific young champion, big, strong, game guy. How will you fight him in this fight? And will that last fight? What did you learn in that fight? You know, how will you adjust in this one?
Yeah, I think one thing that I'll admit is the mistake that I made in the Love fight was. I looked at the Jimmy on Love fight as an opportunity to get a world title fight. So I kind of went into that fight with Love as I'm a veteran and he doesn't have the experience and I kind of just cruised myself into schooling him in that fight. And I didn't go into that fight I should have had more of a killer mentality, like how I'm going into this fight. I think I kind of fought to my level. Sometimes, you know, fighters make that mistake. And they fight to a certain level, and I just felt like Love wasn't at my level, and I kind of was tagging them up. And I think if I would have had the approach that I have now, I'm going into the fight with Kid, where, you know, I know Kid is a great champion. You know, my attitude, my whole demeanor, the way I'm training is I'm training for war. So I'm going into this fight like, yo, it's all or nothing, you know what I mean? So, but, you know, everyone knows I won the Love fight anyway, so that's why I'm here. So I'm blessed that everything worked out anyway.
Okay, well, we're all looking forward to it. It looks like a really great fight on paper, that's for sure, and can't wait to see it. So good luck to both of you. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thanks, Sean.
Once again, if you would like to ask a question or have a comment, please press *1 on your telephone keypad. That will place you in the question queue. Our next question comes from Doug Fisher with The Ring.
Hi, this question is for Gabriel Rosado. Hey, Gabe, obviously Peter Quillen is the naturally bigger guy. He's the guy coming in with the physical strength and the explosive power. And I just wanted to ask you, where do you feel your advantages are in this matchup?
Well, you know, this being the third fight at middleweight, my body has actually grown into a middleweight right now.
Okay.
You know, I've been walking around 176. Right now I'm probably down to like 172. So I'm a bigger guy now.
You don't look at yourself as a junior middleweight fighting a middleweight?
Honestly, man, I think that junior middleweight, the only way I would ever go back to junior middleweight if it was something worth my while. But just to go back down, I wouldn't do it because I think right now, naturally, I'm a middleweight. I think I've grown into it. I think with the Triple G fight, I was going up from 54, and I only came in like 163 the day of the fight. And then for the Jimmy On Love fight, I kind of felt a little more comfortable. But this time around, I'm a lot bigger. I'm a lot stronger. I feel it in my training camp, sparring bigger guys, I'm sparring cruiserweights. So I definitely feel the size advantage. And I have a strength coach and where I put more mask on. So I don't think a kid is going to have an advantage when it comes to size.
Do you think you have the advantage when it comes to technique or ring generalship?
I think when it comes to technique, you know, I think I flow better with my punches. You know, I think kid is a strong puncher. He's a raw guy. But I think at the end of the day, this fight is going to come down to who's the smarter fighter and who has better skills. I think kid has the will to win, and I got the will to win, and that's what's going to make it such an action-packed fight. But at the end of the day, the smarter guy is going to win the fight.
Who do you think has the better experience? I mean, Chocolate's, he's got some title fights under his belt now, and the fight with Ndam was 12 rounds, and it was a tough challenge. But do you see yourself as having the edge, having been in with more contenders or world
champions? I don't take nothing away from Kid. You know, he's a world champion, right? But as far as names, I feel like I've fought better names. You know, he fought Winky Wright. Winky Wright was a great champion. But Winky Wright came out of retirement. You know, he wasn't the Winky Wright of old. Namdu, you know, no one really knew who that guy was. Guerrero beat me, and he beat Guerrero. But that fight with me and Guerrero was almost about 5 years ago. I was, you know, so it really doesn't matter. But, you know, I think at the end of the day, man, it really doesn't matter. You know, Kid's going to come, and he's going to bring his A-game, and I'm going to bring my A-game, and, you know, the best man's going to win.
Watching his last two fights, watching the fight with Guerrero and watching the fight with Ndam, did you see any flaws, whether it was technically or in terms of his conditioning? Did you see any flaws that you could take advantage of?
I think every fighter has flaws. No one's perfect. I got flaws. He has flaws. Everyone has flaws. You know, the key is to make them pay for their flaws. You know, so you have to be the smarter fighter. I definitely do see flaws in Kid. I'm pretty sure you see some flaws in my game. And, you know, the whole thing is just to do your homework, study film, and then, you know, what you studied, you know, do it in training camp, and then pull it off the day of the fight. So, you know, every fighter has flaws. No one's perfect.
Hey, thanks, Gabe. Good luck on October 26th.
All right, thank you.
Our next question comes from Matt Breen with the Philadelphia.
Hey, Gabriel, how you doing?
Hey, what's up?
Nothing much. I know you've been spending a lot of time with Bernard. How special is that for your career, and is there anything that stands out that he's been able to teach you over the past few years?
You know, Bernard is incredible, man. I look at Bernard like family. And, you know, it's a blessing to be around him. I definitely steal everything I see from him. I mean, I think it made me a better fighter being around him. It's just a blessing, man. I think I wouldn't have gotten this far without Bernard mentoring. So it's definitely a blessing.
And do you think that, you know, I know you haven't won your last two fights, but you're still getting a world title shot. Does that speak a lot for how much boxing fans want to see you fight?
Yeah, you know, I think with the Triple G fight, you know, it was a hard loss and where, you know, it hurt. But I think, you know, the fans, they just, you know, they respect the effort. They respect the fact that, you know, even though I was, you know, pretty much fighting the fight blind, I think, you know, they admire the fact that I didn't quit. And then, you know, with the Jamie Oliver fight, everyone knows that I won that fight. So, you know, the fans spoke, they booed that night. And I'm glad that Showtime and Golden Boy and Kid Chalk was giving me the chance to fight because, you know, they saw that I did win the last fight, even though they didn't give me the fight on that night. But, you know, the fans know who really won.
And that Golovkin fight being your first world title shot, is there a difference the second time around with your second world title shot? They're a little bit more focused and more calmed down in the situation?
Yeah, I'm a lot more focused. You know, I've changed some things in my lifestyle that weren't healthy. You know, I'm a young dude. I'm single. I was probably partying a little too much. I was probably, taking it to the head. You know, sometimes, you know, you're on TV, you get some money, people know you, and, you know, you can kind of lose track. And I'm man enough to admit that. But, you know, at this point, you know, I've sat down and I've had that talk with myself where it's like, yo, God, this is all or nothing. Like, you either want to be an entertaining fighter or you want to be a world champion. And, you know, I had that talk with myself that it's time to be a world champion. So I'm doing whatever I have to fill that dream.
Gotcha. Thanks a lot, Cave. Good luck.
Thanks.
Our next question comes from James Dombrowski with the Post Eagle newspaper.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Is Richard there?
No, he's not. He's not available.
Oh, I thought. Okay. Well, I just wanted to know if anything was going to be made note of, because it's basically a year to the day of Hurricane Sandy and how much it ravaged New Jersey. So would anything be made note of that before the fights in Atlantic City on the 26th?
We'll be.
This is Kelly. I'm sure something's being planned, and we'll probably distribute a release on that.
Okay, thanks, Kelly.
So we'll make sure you get that.
Thank you.
Our next question comes from Giandra LaBouf with BadCulture.net.
Good morning, gentlemen. This question is for Gay Rosado. After the conclusion of the Golovkin fight, you were interviewed and you mentioned that you considered yourself a real threat of 154. But after that, you fought Jay Leon Love at middleweight and now Kid Chocolate. Why move up in weight and chance when there's still opponents that are right there ready at 154?
We try to make the a run for 54, but, you know, we weren't successful getting the fight for whatever reason. But, you know, I think weight is a mentality. I think, you know, you can make it be a factor or you can just say whatever. It's just a fight. And I'm not really looking at this fight like, you know, it's only 6 pounds. Not a big deal. I'm a big guy anyway. And at junior middleweight, I was always the bigger man. So it's not like I'm a small dude. If anything, me and Kid are probably about the same height. We're probably walking around at the same weight right now. So there's no disadvantage in this fight. It's an even fight as far as when it comes to size. And, you know, it is what it is. Things play out the way they play out. And it wasn't my time when I fought Triple G. But I feel like, you know, it's my time now.
Okay, thanks, Dave. And then I have a question for Kid Chocolate. Until last night, the tone between the two of you has been very level, very respectful and quiet until it kind of blew up a little bit on Twitter last night. Was there something that you noticed that sparked that, or was it a little gamesmanship just to hype up the fight?
Well, you know, like I know Gabe, and personally I don't have a problem with him at all, you know what I mean? But he's still going to try to come in and win my belt. He made comments about knocking me out. You know, those type of things I don't have to take lightly. You know, I'm going in there with the same mentality. And, you know, when somebody was born with two fists and they became a fighter, you wasn't the last fighter that was born and bred, you know what I'm saying? So I only could take for what it is, you know. A lot of the internet stuff, you know, the fans get us involved and all that type of stuff is kind of like emotional for a fighter. But to have some guy saying what he's going to do to a person, you know what I'm saying? So, like I said, I don't have a problem with him. I know him. I will shake hands with him before the fight and then after the fight. But while the fight is going on, I'm just trying to lay hands on him.
All right. Thank you, gentlemen. Good luck.
Thank you.
Our next question comes from Mark Abrams with 15rounds.com.
Hey, guys. A question for each of you. First, Gabe, your last two fights, Madison Square Garden and the big Mayweather fight, Mayweather card in Las Vegas. Now you're going back to a place where you fought many times and have won many times. Is that a little bit of a calming effect on you compared to the last two fights?
Excuse me, say that again, Mark.
Your last two fights, you know, the Golovkin fight, Madison Square Garden, the big one to New York City, then you fought in Las Vegas on a big Mayweather card. Now you're going back to a place where you fought many times and have won many times. So does that give you a little bit of calming influence on you, you know, familiar surroundings, I guess?
Man, this fight could be in the middle of nowhere. Like, it really don't matter, you know. You know, Atlantic City is like fighting in my. It is like fighting in my backyard because it's only a 45-minute ride from Philly. You know, in Philadelphia alone, my brother sold about almost $20,000 worth of tickets. You know, so a lot of people from Philly are excited. You know, Bernard, he's from Philly, so he's gonna have a big Philly fan base as well. So you know, it's like fighting at home. And but you know, that's really not on my mind. You know, I'm just thinking about the fight. I'm thinking about Kid, and I'm thinking about the game plan.
And one for Peter, I guess. How would he rate? How do you rate him compared to your last two opponents, Ndam and Guerrero?
He's a different fighter. He's at a different pace in his life. I have to give him that respect. I'm not knocking anything away from him. I look at him like every guy that's, you know, I'm against is a guy that's trying to beat me, and I have to find a way to win.
Thank you, guys. Good luck.
Our next question comes from Gina Caruso with True Boxing Heads.
Hi, I have a question for Gabe and Peter. I'll start off with Gabe. Gabe, you've been in the ring with GDD, and you definitely felt the strength of his punches. What did you learn from that fight, and what are you going to take with you in the ring from Peter that you learned from them?
You know, what I learned in that fight was, I went into that fight even though I was a smaller man in that fight, and I wasn't as big as I am now, I kind of went into that fight with that mentality as the little guy, and I kind of approached the fight with Triple G trying to box. I think that was a mistake. I think I should have just stood to what I do best, which was what I was doing at 54. I was just walking guys down. I was just fighting like the bigger guy. So I think I just learned that, you know, stay true to your ring identity. You know, don't try to switch up. Just, you know, if it ain't broke, don't fix it, you know. And I'm just going to go back to my style of just, you know, being, you know, applying pressure, being smart, you know, and not letting the guy back me down, you know. And I think that's what I learned in that Triple G fight.
Thank you. Good luck with the fight, Gabe. Hey, Peter, Gina, how you doing?
I'm doing just fine. How you doing, Gina?
Good, thanks. Hey, your last few fights have been in Brooklyn. How do you feel about fighting outside of your home turf and kind of in Gabe's backyard a little bit?
It'd be interesting to see how many people will follow me to AC. But not only that, you know, I always said the best is that if I have three people watching in my mom's bathroom, we had a fight in my mom's bathroom, I'd be happy with that. You know, I'm a fighter. I can't just worry about all the pressures of who's going to come, you know, where am I fighting. I think, you know, to inspire the world, you have to be able to fight everywhere. So I'm glad to be able to have Golden Boy Bridges bring me to AC and part of a great card, part of, you know, Bernard Hopkins, a guy that I always watch as a young kid. And, you know, I'm going to just make the best of this opportunity.
That's fantastic. Hey, Peter, also another question is, what have you been doing differently in camp this time around to prepare for your battle with Gabe?
I took more control of my whole camp. You know, I brought guys in like Terrell Garcia, Julian Williams from Philly, you know, Daniel Livingston. I got a bunch of guys here, and it's just being motivating to have guys here, let little kids come and be part of the camp and work out and just be inspired. Took my work level up and elevated myself mentally. You know, I'm going out there and doing my road work whenever I feel like I want to do it. I do it every day. I just get it in. You know, I'm in the gym just putting effortless work in, man. That's all I have is effort. At the end of the day, when it comes to, you know, this fight, I'm just very blessed to be able to, you know, get in the ring and showcase my talent.
That's great. Thank you so much, Peter, and good luck.
Thank you so much, Gina.
I think we have two more questions, and then we'll wrap it up. Go ahead, operator. I'm sorry.
Our next question comes from Eliud Vasquez with BoxingPost.net.
Yeah, this first question is for Gabe. Gabe, earlier you mentioned that it will take a big fight for you to move back down to 154. What fighters at 154 would you consider going back down to?
I mean, we'll, not to downplay your question or that, but we'll get to that once I you know, take care of business on the 26th, because I don't want to talk about other fighters and mention names, you know, when I got the biggest fight of my life coming up on the 26th. So, you know, right now I'm just thinking about Kid Chocolate.
Fair enough. And my next question for you, Gabe, you already actually answered it, but you said your brother sold about 20,000 tickets in Philly, so you are indeed expecting a large crowd of family, friends, and fans in Atlantic City?
Yeah, it's definitely going to be big. I fought in Atlanta. I'm undefeated in Atlantic City. I fought there a couple times. And, you know, I have a big fan base over there, so it's definitely going to be a big crowd. And, you know, I'm going to make sure that I do everything I can to give them their money's worth.
And, Peter, what are the difficulties that Gabriel presents to you in this fight? And what do you plan on doing about those difficulties for this fight can go your way?
Well, I just learned something as being a fighter. You only can win one round at a time. So I'm going to go up in there and I'm going to figure them out every round. I've seen a little bit of Gabe as far as, you know, who he fought and everything like that. I don't get too involved with that. I just know when you're in there, a guy fights totally different and you actually got to learn the guy right there in the ring. And that's what I'm going to do. So far as being presented with any problems, I haven't been presented with many problems in my whole career in boxing. I've been an undefeated pro for 9 years, and I've been up in there with some would say not enough guys that give me experience, but you can't do something for 9 years and not know what you're doing. So I'm going to go up in there and learn Gabe one round at a time, and I'm going to come out victorious in this fight October 26th.
And what does it feel to fight on the undercard of Bernard Hopkins, a fighter just like you who was middleweight champion for many years?
It's very legendary, man. You know, Bernard Hopkins, you know, I've just been a big fan of his. Even when he fought my favorite fighter, Felix Trinidad, and he beat him the way he did, I was like, you can't get mad at something like that when a guy, you know, put out greatness like that. So just to being part of this whole card, it's just like magical, and I'm very blessed to be part of this card because, you know, I'm gonna learn so much about myself through this card, and I think to go to the sky, you got to be able to be part of certain situations and certain opportunities where guys been in the same place where I'm at now. So Bernard's been there, done that, and I think I learned so much from him from when he speaks to me and give me knowledge, and you know, this is just a great card to be part of, and I'm glad to be part of it.
Well, thanks, gentlemen, and good luck on the 26th.
Thank you.
Our next question comes from Brandon Montenegro with Ron Bow Ron Boxing.
Rosado, how's everything, buddy?
Yeah, everything's good.
All right, I got a quick question. Do you feel coming into this fight you have to be a little extra aggressive, you know, for the judges since you're on the short end of the scorecards against Love?
You know, I'm not gonna, you know, the truth is, unfortunately, boxing is like that. You know, you saw with the fight with Chavez and Herrera, you know, so you know, I am the underdog going into this fight. So I understand that. And when I signed the contract, I knew what I was getting myself into. So I know that, you know, I have to approach this fight a lot differently. You know, I'm not the favorite, you know, I'm the underdog. So I definitely have to win every round. I can't give up rounds in this fight. I have to fight hard at a big pace to be victorious. If it goes all 12, you know, I have to make sure that I get a decision. I have to really, really, you know, put a lot of effort into this fight. And I'm confident about that, you know. And no disrespect to Kid, but this fight ain't going to go 12 rounds because I'm training for a knockout. So I'm really not tripping off with the judges, whatever's going to happen, because it ain't going to go to the scorecards.
All right, another one. Knowing that in Peter's last two fights, he had 10 total knockdowns, did that put any, I don't want to say fear, but any thought in your training process, you know, because I know you are an ultra-aggressive fighter, you know, but does that change your mentality towards how you approach him?
No, not really. I'm saying he's a big puncher, and I'm a good puncher as well. You know what I'm saying? 2012, all my wins were by knockout. You know, I went up and I fought Triple G. Unfortunately, I didn't win that fight, but, you know, I fought Jamie on Love. I put him down in the sixth round as well. So, you know, I got power too. So this is not a fight where, you know, it's just Kid that's cracking. We both cracking. So, you know, he has to respect my power just like I got to respect his.
All right, thanks. And one more for Peter. Peter, quick question. With you being able to, you know, have a lot of knockdowns in the last two fights, and, you know, the fact that, that Rosado was, you know, in it with DGG, who is, you know, widely considered the best pound-for-pound puncher in the class, power-wise, you know, and basically Rosado was able to walk them down. Does that put any thought into your training process as far as the way you plan on approaching the fight?
No, because I ain't GGG. I'm a whole totally different cut breed, man. You know, like, I am raw. I'm like straight off of the Colombian boats. I'm that raw. So when it comes to, you know, comparing myself, I'm not matching nobody else's performance. And, you know, Gabe is fighting a totally different guy. And he said the fight is going to a knockout. And if he's not going to the scorecard, I really honestly believe it. But I don't believe it's going to be me that's going to be the one that's taking defeat as being knocked out. I just know that I've just been training very, very hard for this fight. I know what I'm able to do. I'm not comparing my performance to anybody. I'm not trying to match my performance. I'm going to do Kid Chocolate. That's all I know how to do. And, you know, with my last three fights, if you don't, people count the last two, but they don't count the last three, or it's been 11 knockdowns. Everybody I touch, they have a different approach once I touch them, and it's not the same. And I'm praying for Gabe that he's able to go up there and put his best foot forward, because that's all he can do. And when that's not enough, you're just going to have to shake hands and you're going to have to accept defeat, because that's what I'm going to deliver.
All right, thank you, fellas. Good luck on the 26th, and I'll see you there.
Be there.
Okay, that wraps it up, everybody. Thank you for joining us, and we will be sending out some more information on this fight, including some activities for next week. So you guys, thanks so much, Pete, Gabe, and we will see you very shortly, October 26th. So keep training hard. We look forward to watching your fight.
Dale, good luck. Thank you. Gabe, I'll see you in October.
Stay healthy, all right?
Bye, everybody.
That concludes today's conference call. Thank you for joining us today.